Hey Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape episode. I'm Jonathan Lennon, and every week or so, I like to sit down with a storyteller. Maybe they're in movies, film, or they're in television. It could be streaming, or music, or any of the entertainment pop culture outlets, and they're storytellers. So I like to talk to them about stories and be like, hey, why do you tell these stories? What story are you working on now? Where do you think that story came from? Tell me and my audience about that story, because I'm fascinated by stories, and we've had tons of amazing storytellers on this show. So if you're into that, hey, we're going to be at WonderCon next week. There are going to be a lot of stories there. If you're into that, awesome. You're in the right place. If you're not, well, the internet's full of podcasts, and you can go explore them. But first, I would like you to take a look at more of the podcasts we have here on Geekscape. Maybe you saw Us this weekend, the new Jordan Peele horror movie. Our good friends over at Horror Movie Night sat down, and they got together. And I think, well, I'm recording this on Saturday. I think they're recording that on the next day. But by the time I post this, I'm pretty sure they'll have all gotten together and done a podcast about Us. So if you guys are interested in seeing what their thoughts are, these are horror experts. I have vetted them. You might want to click over and to geekscape.net and see about for yourself. Be like, oh, horror movie night. They're talking about Us, and I just saw that movie, and I need to figure out what the heck happened. That might be a good place for you. All right, Geekscapists. Let's get on to the show. I've got my good friend Marie Jamora here. Marie and I went to grad school together. We went to Columbia Film School, and she... It's really kind of a weird story. You were a year behind me, Marie.
I was.
And sorry for the coughing. And
excused.
She was a year behind me, and we reconnected not as filmmakers, but because Marie listened to Geekdrome and then Geekscape.
Yep.
Like, that is insane.
I even went to a taping of yours in Forbidden Planet.
With Jim Pellegrinelli and Scott Klopfenstein.
Yes.
And maybe I think Big Yanks might have been there too. But the crazy thing is this. The crazy thing is that, like, you're one of my closest friends. And we mainly talk about filmmaking. And I oftentimes forget that we reconnected because you listened to my podcast.
Totally. We weren't friends in film school. We became friends because of your podcast.
Yeah.
We just like see each other in the hallway or in the subway,
hey,
or whatever.
What's up?
Yeah.
Tiny Filipino woman. Oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, hey, man.
How are
tall
you?
Dude. Yeah.
Little did I know that you were all about like making music videos and rock and roll and all this stuff
and
back in
Manila.
And you
were making music videos too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's pretty similar, except you made a really damn good feature film and I'm sitting here going, womp, womp. So.
But you're about to make yours, so.
We'll see. Knock on wood.
Yep,
we'll
yep.
find out. I like to sing when you're around. Anyway, sorry about that, Geekscapist.
I will sing too.
So as we become friends, I start finding out that like Marie's a rock star back in Manila.
That's a little over exaggeration. I play music. I have respected bands, but I mean, you know.
And then she shot a crap ton of music videos for those indie bands in Manila. And yeah. Manila has kind of like, it's like Austin, like where we grew up.
Totally.
It's got like that underground indie scene.
Yeah, just huge, great bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was insane getting to know you better over the last, 12 years?
Yes.
About
Don't age
how our parallels were in growing up and getting into film and loving movies. But all that storytelling really kind of started with indie rock.
Yeah. And also, like, I mean, I don't love comic books as much as you do, but I read comic books. Like, I mean, graphic novels and stuff. So
totally.
We have, like, a lot of similarities, strangely enough, even though we grew up halfway across the world from each other.
You also worked pretty closely with our late friend John Schnapp, who was a
yes.
frequent Geekscapist. You were his editor on a lot of projects.
Yes, and he was a great editor, so we would actually collaborate on a lot of stuff. And it was great because he's so great at comedy editing, and I'm so bad at that, but I was really good at storytelling through editing.
Sure.
So we really balanced each other out on that stuff. Like, I'd edit something, like for The Death Superman Lives, we were editing that for like maybe around 9 months, and then, you know, I would go home, and overnight he would like tweak a scene, like for example, the John Peter scene where he was drinking like that mineral water, like he was for like a minute, and it was just so funny. Like, I came back the next day, watched that, and I was like dying on the floor because I thought it was just like, oh, there's a water break, I should cut around this, but no, John's like, no, we need to savor this moment,
have
right
him
now.
Drink the whole damn thing. If yeah. you guys haven't seen The Death of Superman Lives, what happened, that's the documentary John made about Tim Burton's, it's sort of like the Superman movie he almost made. He got within a week of that thing going up, and it's a fascinating documentary, and I just can't believe we're living in like a post-John Schnepp world. He was on Geekscape so many times. And
and Nick Cage watched the movie and, you know, he became the voice also. Like, I mean, eventually he actually kind of did play Superman. So it all comes full circle.
Ooh, I didn't know we'd go there. Oh. We went there, Marie. I didn't know we'd go there and talk about our friend John.
I know, right? It's, you know, and I saw
did
that
panel. Did I recommend you for the gig? How'd you find that gig?
My husband, Jason, was working at the office where John was renting out a room.
And that was over by Titmouse?
Yes, it was right next to Titmouse. And he was my boyfriend at the time, but now he's my husband. And John and him were talking about animation because my husband's an animator. And they were just like shooting the shit. John, and he would ask John, what are you working on? And John's like, I have a documentary. I'm looking for an editor. And then my Jason, he was like, my girlfriend's an editor. And John's like, yeah, sure. Like, he's just like, hey, man, of course your girlfriend's an editor, whatever.
A lot of
whatever.
Girlfriends are a lot of people's girlfriends are editors.
Yeah. And, but, you know, we sent him my resume. Holly Payne, the producer, she looked at my stuff. She was like, let's get her in here. John got me in there. We talked. And he was like, let's try you out for 2 weeks. And then the first assignment I had was to cut the trailer, which he wanted to drop the day of Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And then that day we dropped that trailer that I cut, we got 1 million views. And so he didn't fire me. So it was really, really nice.
Well, you're here now, and I maintain that you shot the best, that you made the best film that I've seen from a Columbia grad. I haven't seen a lot of them. But like,
that's probably why you say
no.
That.
Don't be like that. Like, obviously, I've seen like Jennifer Lee and Phil Johnson stuff, like Wreck-It Ralph. Mm-hmm. But and I've seen James Ponsoldt stuff.
Yeah, a lot of great movies.
But your movie, I remember sitting next to you at the screening of that movie at the film festival there on Western. Mm-hmm. It's like Asian Pacific Film Festival.
Yeah, LA Asian Pacific Film Festival.
And I was like, are you kidding me with this movie? And I now introduce you to people as like the most talented director I know. But nobody cares because she's a small Filipino woman. Like, Hollywood hasn't gotten the memo.
Yes, totally. No, you like kind of believed in me when, like 5 years ago when I showed that here, nobody gave a shit. And
how could nobody give a shit about that movie? It's so fucking good.
Because it has subtitles and a lot of people don't want to watch movies with subtitles, you know? I've encountered that. That's something I didn't think was a real thing until I actually started living in LA and they're just like, oh, it has subtitles?
It's in Filipino, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of English, there's a lot of Taglish, but I mean, even though it's about music and first love, it's coming of age, that's a real barrier for people.
So, okay, so you said Taglish, and I gotta ask you about this, because a buddy of mine who's Filipino, half Filipino, was like, oh yeah, Tagalog isn't a thing. It's called Filipino. Japanese is Japanese, German is German. Why do Filipinos have to make their own name for their own language instead of just calling it Filipino?
So technically the national language is Filipino. It's called Filipino, but since the Philippines is made out of over 7,000 islands, there's like hundreds of dialects. And Taglish, Tagalog.
Tagalog, yeah.
Tagalog is the dialect of the northern, like, Metro Manila area and some of the northern regions. But it's literally, it's the predominant language of the north, but technically a lot of people in the south, they all speak different dialects. So
really?
Out of, I'm not sure how many years ago, but from having the national language be Tagalog, you know, they changed it and said, you know what, we want to be inclusive of all the dialects in the Philippines. It's called Filipino.
So I'm going to go back to him with that.
Yeah.
He also said like Filipino people are super racist against half, like his grandmother never talked to him. His Filipino grandmother never talked to him because I should have him on. I should literally have him on because he works for Insomniac and worked on the Spider-Man game that stuff. Like my friend Herschel. But he said that his Filipino grandmother wouldn't talk to him because he was half white, half Filipino.
Okay.
And he's like, hold up, woman. You guys are half Chinese, half Spanish. Like, Filipino is not a very old, like, it's not a very old, like, culture, is it? It's something that was like, wasn't it, like, islands that were populated by Chinese and then the Spanish in order to conquer the islands, they were just like, breed party.
So, the Spaniards colonized us for 600 years.
Yeah.
There were no Spanish women, so there were friars, and there are a lot of half Spanish, which means the friars started, you know, raping. a lot of the
they
native women.
Could have been
women.
Seductive friars.
What?
Friar Tuck's got that. Friar Tuck has that smolder thing going on.
I don't know. Hey, I didn't see no pictures of Friar Tuck.
He's got that staff.
It really is, like, I remember I was telling a friend of mine, like, oh, I have, you know, 16% Portuguese, you know, 16% Spanish, Chinese, this and that. And then someone told me, oh, you're a mongrel. And, like, obviously it was a time where it was a little bit more accepted to say that without it being really, really insensitive. And I laughed, but technically it's kind of true. Like, we have a lot of different races. It's a melting pot.
And so it was really funny that he was telling me the story of his grandmother, how she literally would not talk to him because she did not want her daughter marrying a white guy. Ooh. And then now having mixed race kids. And it's like a lot of thing. It happens a lot in like an old generation. And he said that whenever she wanted him to get her something, mm-hmm. she would point and grunt and be like,
I think he might be onto something. I think the older generations, they were very, I guess, because like she might have been alive during World War II. It's
sure.
possible. And
yeah,
that was a very rough time because the Japanese occupation, that and, you know, a lot of people were murdered and
sure.
stuff like that. So maybe she's bringing a little bit of that, I don't like the other thing. You know, I don't
grunted
know.
Out.
Or if she lived in America for a long time and experienced.
No, not at all.
Oh, she's from the Philippines.
Yeah, she's from the Philippines.
She's probably, it's one of those afraid of the other things.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Usually, Filipinos love, like, foreigners.
I've found you to be nothing but warm.
Yeah.
So let's talk, because I loved that movie. I can't even pronounce it.
No, I just call it What Isn't There. That's the English.
What Isn't There is the English
term. Is the English title, and then the Filipino title is Ang Nawawala.
I think I could have done okay.
You could have, but some people just be like, oh, la, 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 la.
You know what? Let's be honest. I would have been like, ang nawalathat.
Close. Yeah. You got the first syllable right.
Got it. It's only, yeah. So right now, Marie is crowdfunding on Seed and Spark. Familiar with that? Because we just finished Chasing Fletcher
successful.
Allen. Yeah, we did Chasing Fletcher Allen through, Yeah, Chasing Fletcher Allen. We did that through Seed and Spark, and you Geekscapists were helpful in that. But now we got Marie's got this short film, and she's crowdfunding for it on Seed and Spark. What is it called?
It's called A Song for Myself,
uh-huh.
and it's a short film for the AFI's directing workshop for women. It's a very prestigious program because for the last 40 years, AFI gives around 8 women from out of hundreds who are kind of later in their careers but have never been given a big break in Hollywood. So you can't be like fresh out of film school or whatever. You have to have had some experience. But they know that there's no gender parity in directing for television and film right now. So they want to change that. And so they give a year and a half tuition-free MFA to 8 women. I'm the first Filipino woman in the program in 40 years. Ever, yes.
Wow.
And so that's a real, like, honor. I know it's very hard to get in. And one of the requirements, the final project, is to make a short. And the short can be a proof of concept of a feature, which is what we're doing. And this short is basically about a Filipino cover band in Las Vegas in the 90s, where it was cool to play artists like white or black music, but not like brown music. Mm-hmm. And our lead singer, who's our protagonist, her name is Maya. You know, she left home and she's been traveling. She had to leave her newborn child.
And she's Filipino.
She's Filipino and her whole band is Filipino. And what people don't know is that actually one of the biggest exports of the Philippines is people. Like our overseas Filipino workers. And people know about the nurses and the engineers, but most people don't know about the entertainers.
Well, who does the nails?
That's Koreans.
Koreans do the nails.
Yes.
Okay. I'm racist as fuck. And,
but if you go to any, like, you know, like you go to theme parks or cruise ships or hotel bars, you see a band in the bar and they sound like a radio version, but they're all brown. Those are Filipino.
Okay.
And so it's basically about one of those bands. And our lead singer, she made an original song about her, like, missing home and about her child, but her band doesn't want to play it. Nobody's interested in hearing it.
They want to hear Huey Lewis and the Blues. Who listens to the news? They want to hear 80s, 90s covers and
totally.
Stuff like that. And it takes place in the 90s.
90s, yeah.
Like Captain Marvel.
Yes. I haven't seen that yet, but I can't wait.
Okay, cool. When you do, you can go back a couple episodes of Geekscape and listen to the special we did.
Sick.
Talking all about it. So this is your short. All of your films work work their way around music.
Yes.
And it's a song for her. So Geekscape is, if you're listening to this right now and you're near a computer, or put yourself a little note, go over to Season Spark, hit that donate button. I'll put a link in the show notes, and let's help get this movie financed and made.
Yes.
So you're always working with music, because I know that I just want to keep calling it Agnanawalnalablat.
That's closer. Just what isn't there, man?
What isn't there? I know that your feature film, What Isn't There, took place, and I loved it so much that Geekscape, it reminds me of Blankets, Craig Thompson's Blankets.
Oh, yeah. The Trey Parker Rack,
because it's so much about like that first love that you think is going to be like the one, and it just is really just like a summer. But it's about that kind of fleeting first love. But the backdrop of it, there's a couple more things going on in the film. He's a twin to a deceased brother, and that's really huge because he has this identity stuff going on. He also is...
selectively mute.
He's selectively mute.
Yeah, because he stopped talking.
And the whole movie takes place in the backdrop of like the indie Manila scene that... Like indie scene that...
The rock scene that
Marie's all about.
Yeah.
So the whole
music
thing
is kind of the way he communicates to people.
So much freaking texture in that movie. It was crazy. You then went on a couple years ago and you made the short film.
Yes, I made a short film called Flip the Record, and it was about the real life. It's based on a real scene in the Bay Area in the late 80s and 90s, where a bunch of Filipino American kids started DJing in their garages. They made mobile crews, like roving DJ crews when they were in high school. There were hundreds of them. And that's the scene where Mixmaster Mike from the Beastie Boys comes from, mm-hmm. DJ Qbert. And they became world-class turntablists. These kids who started out like just buying turntables and wanting to rock the parties in their parents' garages, they ended up becoming, like, pushing the envelope of turntablism. And so my short is based on a little bit of the strong women I met in that scene. The women who would watch their brothers or their cousins like leave the house and rock out, and then they would actually teach themselves how to DJ or teach themselves how to MC or sneak out of the house or scratch and all that. So it's like the birth of scratch in that era.
Netflix has this new series that is about a DJ, and it's why am I blanking on his name? It's Idris Elba. And Idris Elba has this new series about being a like has-been DJ, mm-hmm. and his like successful actor friend from school has moved back to London.
Yeah,
he's a successful actor, and he takes him on as a nanny for their kid.
Okay,
and his wife's a DJ.
Oh,
his
sick.
Wife's a super successful DJ.
What's the show called? I told him.
Turn Up. I want to call him Johnny, but it's Frankie.
Okay.
Frankie, I think, is what it's called, and it's on Netflix, and it's really comedy.
Oh, nice!
And you know that Idris Elba is also like a DJ.
Yes, I do, because like when he premiered his film at Sundance last year that he directed, he DJed his own after party.
So,
and I was really sad because I wanted to crash that.
Oh no!
But yeah.
So check that series out because it's pretty funny, and it's Idris Elba doing comedy.
Yeah, Stringer Bell does comedy.
Yeah,
Holy
Stringer
crap.
Bell doing comedy. I thought it was awesome. You did the short. The short played everywhere.
It had gone to over like 40 film festivals. It's still playing. It's a 2-year-old short, but it's at Luna Fest right now, which is basically a festival by female directors about female. It's about like women, and it's traveling all around America for like they have 200 stops all across America. It's 8 films, and basically it's all fundraising. Like it's fundraising for charities that benefit young girls or women or give scholarships and stuff like that. So that's called Luna Fest. So if it goes near your town, I think the coffee maker is bubbling.
The coffee maker?
That's the coffee maker. We're enjoying coffee right now. It's a weekend.
Yeah, it'll stop.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I can also run
then
in.
It'll explode.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't hear from us again, you know what happens.
The coffee maker blew up in her face.
Yeah.
So
we're all disfigured now.
What did that lead to? Because like you made this short. It did really well.
Yes, to be honest, like moving to America 5 years ago, I wasn't given a lot of opportunity to direct as a, you know, as a woman of color. I was given a lot of editing work, but no one would give me a chance to direct. So when we actually decided to self-finance this short and it got into a lot of festivals, I feel that it really, we basically created the opportunity for me to direct. And because of that, a show that we did a pilot for a couple years ago, got the green light. It's a food and animation show called Family Style, which is on Warner Brothers Stage 13. It's a digital network. It's going to be on Facebook Watch this May.
And
And it's basically an Asian American food show told through this perspective of second generation like foodies, not through like any chef or food critic or whatever. That's very alienating. It's like through like, you know, 20 something Asian Americans. And we also mix animation. So we have stop motion and like paper animation and stuff like that. And it's like, we call it like our foodie Sesame Street.
And who is in that series? Because I know that like I saw Grant Imahara from and like he's like, I forget how you came up, but I ran into him and he's like, oh yeah, I'm with Heidi. It was at Heidi's play that I ran into him. Mm-hmm. Heidi from Chasing Fletcher Allen had a play, and hi Heidi, she always listens.
Hi Heidi.
And and Grant sat down next to me.
Yeah.
And I knew Grant, like, peripherally through the geek world and stuff like that. And Grant was on Mythbusters.
Yes.
And then and we just talked because we're sitting next to each other. And I don't know how you came up, but he's like, oh, yeah, I'm meeting with Marie. I'm working with Marie next week or tomorrow even.
Yeah.
And that was pretty small world.
This episode is really blessed because, I mean, we got him on the show because of Schnapp. Like, we wanted an episode where, because since it's a Asian food show, we wanted an episode that busted the Japanese myth of women cannot be sushi chefs because their hands are warmer than men's.
What?
Yeah, that's legit? A thing. They're always just like, oh, women can't make good sushi. And that's been propagated for hundreds of years.
What?
And so we got Grant.
Because their hands are warmer?
Yeah. But Grant helped us, like, step by step. We had a male sushi chef, a female sushi chef. It was, like, a battle of the sexes, like, tasting menu. Uh-huh. And he had some science. He brought the science into it.
Yeah,
he had infrared cameras. And he, like, I won't tell you what happened. You'll have to see the show. But, like, it was awesome. And then it was him, Diane Doan from Warrior.
Okay.
She was, like, also one of the judges who ate. And then, of course, Lana McKissack is one of our hosts.
Is Warrior that new Bruce Lee series that's starting up over at Showtime?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And so we got a lot of great guests, like Harry Shum Jr. from Crazy Rich Asians was on a show. We got Hudson Yang from Fresh Off the Boat and his dad, who is a CNN contributor and journalist. And they basically, we have a meal at their house where they talk about like how he kept his Taiwanese culture alive in the household through food with Hudson. And it's just kind of, it was really great. I feel that the conversations that people have who aren't chefs but who love food are so rich, are just as rich as people who have studied food and have gone to school for food. Like, it's just kind of, it's kind of amazing because everybody has that. You find out about their families, you find out about how they're raised by their parents, and you find out, like, there's a newfound appreciation and kind of pride for the food because Asian food is blowing up right
now.
That
being said, Geekscape is just because I don't want it to be a conflict of interest. Marie did just cook lunch for us, and I didn't ask shit about her family.
But you did eat. You did eat it, so yeah, that's good. That's a good sign.
You're a good cook. I can see why Jason married you.
And that's why we gained 30 pounds.
No comment.
Yeah.
So, Geekscape is, again, like a song for her. You're going to look for it over on Seed and Spark. Whatever you can do, share it, like it. I know that from doing Chasing Fletcher Allen, just the act of following the project really helps because there are some incentives that the filmmakers get whenever people follow their project. It really helps them get extra stuff.
Totally. And like, for example, if you hit a couple, like if they have, you hit some landmarks, you get free festival waivers, you get some free equipment. It's really amazing.
Why'd you guys choose Seed and Spark?
AFI has a deal with Seed and Spark.
Okay.
And they've been really great.
When I went to Stowe in Vermont for my screenwriting fellowships, Seed and Spark was one of the sponsors and like came and talked to us and stuff. And that's kind of why I was like, okay, let's try that out.
Yeah.
They're very filmmaker friendly.
They're very I think they're really gearing for filmmakers. And you have to make 80% of your goal to get it greenlit. It's not 100% like Kickstarter.
Right.
Which is great. It's nice to have that little buffer, you know?
What, we got to talk about this short. Is it a Tribeca or the feature? I didn't even know about this, that you did this.
Oh, yeah. So, because when we did Flip the Record, one of our producers, he did it for free. Like, he was a producer we met at the Slamdance Film Festival, where me and my husband met. We were so grateful to find people to work on our set for free that we kind of wanted to pay it forward.
Wait, you paid some of your crew, right?
For Flip the Record?
Yeah.
Like, we paid our actors, like, you know, micro-budget stuff, but, like, a lot of the crew were just really there for free.
Holy crap.
And people, you know, they, obviously, it was Halloween weekend, they would come in shifts. They'd be like, I can help you for these amount of hours. We're like, we'll take it.
I helped you with casting.
You totally did. You were, like, you literally, he was literally the actor who was playing off, like, all the girls who were, like, auditioning for the leads.
I came out of that with no Filipino girlfriends.
Yeah, but a lot of, like, you know, flirting a little bit. But it's weird,
no,
because you have to be the brother.
Get out of here with that.
Yeah, you know, you have to be the brother, flirting. So it's, like, weird if it's flirting. It's kind of creepy.
There was no flirting. I didn't flirt. I was a professional.
See, so you work for free. So everybody, like, we were so lucky that people were just so supportive. So we wanted to kind of put that karma out in the universe. Mm-hmm. So one of the filmmakers we met at Slamdance, her name is Dana Nachman, and she's actually a very successful documentary narrative filmmaker. She made Bad Kid Begins, mm-hmm. Which was bought by Julia Roberts' company. And then last year she came out with a doc called Pick of the Litter, which is about, like, service dogs, which is going to be made into a TV show right
that
now.
That I want to see.
Yeah, so that's, yes, you're going to love that one. Mm. And so she was, like, telling us how she wanted to become a, like, transition to narrative films as well. And we got drunk in a happy hour, and we were just like, hey, man, if you need help producing your short, we'll do it. And we did. And
you guys saw that here in LA?
We did shoot it in LA. She's based in San Jose, but we all did it in LA. And then, you know, we were like, great. And then just a couple weeks ago, we found out it got into Tribeca, and that's its world premiere.
Wow.
And it's great because it stars Veronica Dunn of Casey Undercover in the Disney Channel. And this is kind of like a very different role for her. It's kind of a, yeah. So it's called Hookup 2.0. If you're in New York City for the Tribeca Film Festival, please try to make it.
Because that's like going on here in April. Tribeca is during April, so
that's
coming right up.
It is coming.
That's pretty awesome.
I wish we could be up there, but
our friend Tommy Avalone, who's been on the show, he was on the show a few months ago for his film about Bill Murray, the Bill Murray stories.
Ooh.
He's got a movie called Waldo on Weed about a little boy whose eyesight, he had cancer in his eye.
Yeah,
and the weed was his father. Don't know if it was legal or not, mm-hmm. but started using oil and stuff like that.
For like CBD oil and everything?
For the kid to help his cancer treatment and this and that. Like, that movie's premiering at Tribeca.
That sounds amazing. And that's completely true, because I know a friend of mine, her son has, like, seizures.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's actually my sister's friend, and she lent them some CBD oil, and they would just put some on the little kid's lips, and he would, like, his seizures stop.
I gotta tell you, I'm straight really edge as hell, but I want my mom, who has mild epilepsy, to start doing some stuff of that.
Yeah, my, you know, like,
she lives in New Mexico. How's everybody in New Mexico not already doing weed?
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, she's secretly doing,
they're all doing peyote and stuff like that. Like,
hey, that, you know, that could help. I've never done it, but I don't know what it does. Like, it's like old medicine. Like,
it's like the spirit state, right? It's
yeah.
like the state of, like,
your mom could be seeing some of the ancestors. Yeah.
Yeah, she could be talking to the ancestors.
Yeah, she could see the future.
Here's the crazy thing. Our grandfather, Guadalajara, lived to 103. The ancestors still pumping blood.
Dude.
Her mom's still alive.
So what's their secret?
I don't know, but they both, like, at 100. They both lived at past 100.
That's amazing. My grandmother lived past 100, too.
Yeah.
But she was just like, she was
brown,
just
don't
like
go down.
No, she was very, like, stubborn. So she was just like, she was waiting for a grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute, like, she was like, where's my grandchild? And the minute it was there, like, she just, like, held it. And, like, a couple weeks later,
fades away.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm good.
She's like, remember in Dark Crystal when, like, the Stixies, like, whenever the Stixies would die, like, a mystic would also die. Uh-huh. And they would fade away.
Oh, my God.
You remember that?
I don't remember those parts. Like, no, like, it's been a while since I've seen it.
You hand your grandmother, like, the child, and she's like, thank you. And then, like, like Yoda,
like, yeah, like fades Yoda, away. Like, it's like, and then just like the baby drifts to the ground.
I can't believe we're talking about your grandmother dying at this kind of levity, but welcome to Geekscape.
Hello, yes.
That's awesome, though, that you have a short in Tribeca that you produced.
Yeah, we're really excited.
That's
it's the
huge.
First. It's like the last time I had a short in Tribeca was like in the for film school.
I remember the last time I had a short in Tribeca was never. So we're thinking about. I mean, that's definitely one of the top festivals that I'm aiming, chasing Fletcher Allen.
Definitely,
at.
Because they do episodics.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you got to do that.
I keep calling Chasing Fletcher Allen a pilot. I think I have Heidi on board thinking about it
so
as a
pilot. So it's not 100% sure? You're just kind of...
Well, it was written as a short, but she's like, I don't know what there is after the short. And I was like, well, we could spin off any of these characters.
Yes.
There's so many characters in that short, many of which were acted on by were acted by our good friends from Geekscape, like Cooper Barnes, etc. Like, we could totally put that together.
Yes, and also, like, as a, something that's, like, maybe 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, the short, like, shorts work better as, like, very short.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
And, yeah, 10 to 12.
We would be a freaking gorilla up in that.
Yes. And so having it an episodic really, you know, and also, like, not so many people submit episodics as much as shorts. So okay. I feel that it's, like, it'll stand out more.
I was going to ask you, do you think that we have an advantage when we submit to episodics for, like, South By or Tribeca over shorts? Because, yeah, we would be a gorilla in the shorts category.
Totally.
But episodic, somebody might sit down and be like, okay, I'm in it for 20 minutes.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, that was a discussion we were going to have. Maybe not on Geekscape. It's fine that we're having it on Geekscape because there's filmmakers who listen to the show who are like,
it's
okay.
It's very helpful because we used to, I used to program for the Slamless Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And like, programming is really about how many films, like what are your your shorts blocks.
Right.
What's in the block, what are the themes of the block, and how many films are in this block. And how they complement stuff. And you have a, if you have a 22-minute film, you're taking up already like two slots.
Two or three slots. Yeah,
exactly. And so your film has to be three times better than everything else.
That's tough. It will not be. We have name actors in it.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that helps, right?
It totally helps.
Name actors helps?
Totally.
It doesn't even need to be good now, right?
It has to be good.
I'm just talking myself off the ledge here,
kid. I mean, it's going to be good because you guys made it.
Right. Thank you. And it's got the Geekscape logo.
Yes.
You can pat yourselves on the back for that one, Geekscapist. So, you've got this new short film that you're raising the money for the AFI program. Again, it's a song for her, Geekscapist. You definitely want to go to Season Spark.
Song for myself.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, but it's also a song for me.
It is a song for myself. I'm so sorry.
No, don't be
a song sorry. For myself is what you're going to look for. Or just click down to the show notes on this episode and you're going to see the link to Season Spark to donate or follow or share Marie's project. You definitely want to do
that. Music movies. This is one of them.
Yeah, you're making these music movies. What were like your inspirations growing up in like Manila when you guys got those like imported VHS tapes?
I love it. You remember that? So yeah.
What do you mean? I remember that?
No, because like I mean, obviously there was Filipino TV and there's no cable.
You ain't watching that. That stuff was probably crazy.
No, it was just like, it was whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of government propaganda. But like, my uncle who lived in Detroit would tape MTV and kind of tape like TV movies.
Yeah.
So I got The Godfather, like the TV version, like in it was in chronological order. And
holy crap. So they took Godfather 1 and Godfather 2.
And they did it in like it started off with De Niro and then it went like
that's Godfather 2.
Yeah, but the TV
they
version
cut them together?
Yeah, the TV version of The Godfather is actually chronological. It's not nonlinear.
Wait.
Yes.
Hold up.
Yes.
Cuz I knew none of this. So if I was to watch Godfather 1
yes.
on TV, they would include that part from Godfather 2 that was the De Niro stuff?
Yeah, you would start The Godfather with
Godfather 2 stuff.
2, and then him like coming to America, and then his life, and then all that stuff, until, and then you would meet Michael way later on.
And then, so you wouldn't even see Sonny Corleone from like the beginning where he's like, I do you a favor, I do.
Yeah, you would.
Like, you wouldn't see that until like way later.
Yeah, way later, it's like Act 2, you know?
Holy
yeah, it
crap.
Was like so. When I saw The Godfather, like as it was, like Godfather 1, I'm like, wait, it starts like this. Like
it
I was like,
with Marlon Brando.
Yeah, yeah. I was shocked. I was like, but wait, where's De Niro? So it's very.
He's not even in the first
but
movie.
I think that they have that. Maybe I'm sure, like you, Geekscapists, know where you can find that chronological version of The Godfather they released on TV.
Yeah, Topher Grace is going to edit it and put it on YouTube, like he does in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I don't. What?
Yeah.
Okay, so your uncle in Detroit would be like. Just taping movies off of TV and mailing them to you.
He would mail them to us. Like he'd wrap it up in foil, like in
foil.
Because he would sometimes he would come back to the Philippines. So you know how the X-rays like sometimes wreck.
Was
the tapes?
He not supposed to be doing that? Was there like a government thing that was like no state-run TV only?
No, I don't think so. I feel that maybe at the time he just knew that the X-ray machines tended to like affect film, so he would wrap it up in the foil so it would protect the tapes from the X-ray machines. Which were very strong at that time. And then, so I would watch a lot of music
videos. Chicken nuggets. No, it's a VHS.
Yeah. No, I really liked that. We'd watch that on loop. I'd watch Family Ties. because he would tape it, and there was also like Wonder Years stuff, but it was like Monster Squad, he taped that for me.
Holy shit. Also,
and yeah, it was really great.
So you guys got none of that. I mean, growing up in like Manila, right? Yeah. And this is the 80s, 90s.
Yes.
You go to a movie theater, do they have any American fare whatsoever?
They did, but we would get them 6 months later. The premiere of Home Alone 6 months after it premiered in the States.
And it's not a Christmas, it's a Christmas movie during the summer now.
Yeah, it's like, totally.
You're like, it snows in the U.S. in the summer?
Yeah.
That's exactly. Weird.
But we were so happy to see it. We didn't care if it wasn't Christmas.
Right.
And so there was a time a little later on where we started having these like video stores.
Yeah, mom and pop shops.
Yeah, mom and pop shops, but it's not like legit Blockbuster. It's like they would like pirate it. It was just like...
That's how it started here in the States.
Yeah.
Well, the States, throughout the 80s, it was mom and pop video stores.
But before how Blockbuster would they get... They would like tape it off of like whatever? No,
those they would buy from the studios for like $100+ each VHS tape.
So that's legit.
That's legit. So
Filipinos did not
Filipinos would just do VHS copies.
They would probably get like maybe the Laserdisc, tape a VHS version of the Laserdisc, and then make like five... Like for example, Basic Instinct. They'll make five VHS of Basic Instinct, rent those out. Right.
Yeah,
stuff like that before the DVD stuff came
out.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. And I remember I was like in the room and I was like, told the guy, I was like, I want to watch Basic Instinct. And then he was just
How old are you?
I was pretty young.
You can't be watching Basic Instinct.
And then he looked at me and he was like, I'll only rent it to you if your mom says yes. And I look at my mom. I'm like, Mom, can I rent it? She's like, okay. She had no idea what it was. So I was like, thanks. Okay, let's go.
That's the Sharon Stone uncrossing her legs totally. And everything.
Like, and there's more than that. I mean, the crossing legs is like the famous part, but there's a lot of sex in that.
And you were like, I like this stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know. How did I know that movie was going to be good? I have no clue. My sisters, they really, like, they would, you know, find black market, like, European films in, like, in Chinatown and stuff.
What were some of your favorite movies, like, growing up that, like, led you to be a director?
Oh, my God. So
you got to do it. You got to
So, of course, like, obviously, like, the conventional answer is E.T. because that one, you know, like, that changes my life. Because I was just like... I don't know. I felt like Elliot, even though he looked nothing like me. I just felt
a little bit.
What? I have the same height as Elliot, pretty much. That's probably it.
Yeah, like I like Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, exactly. And then I mean, the other movies that really affected me when I was young. My sister like rented like My Life as a Dog, which is this Danish film, which
totally
was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. My dad watched that.
Really?
It was good.
It was so good, and it's just.
That's like when everybody was looking for European movies like The Red Balloon and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, I want to watch European movies. I don't know what that whole trend was, but I think it was maybe...
It was like growing,
when VHS came around, people were just bringing in European movies. And I remember My Life as a Dog and The Red Balloon being big VHS movies.
Yes. There was a French movie called Au revoir les enfants.
The fuck?
It's like Goodbye My Children by Louis Malle. And that one was really great because it was basically about like a Catholic school in France... where the priest started hiding little Jewish boys from the Germans.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's like, it sounds like real, like a downer, but it's a beautiful friendship, like, movie. And it was, I don't know. So a lot of, like, European stuff.
And you're a kid watching a little bit more sophisticated movies than we're getting over here in the popcorn fair.
Yes. Because my oldest sister, she was 13 years older than me. She was 18 watching all these art films. I was, like, really young, and I was just, like, watching along with them. So I watched Body Double. Remember that Melanie Griffith, like, sexy movie?
Where, no.
Anyway, guys, you might like this. If you like Melanie Griffith, it's Brian De Palma.
I only know Cherry like, 2000.
And it's like, it's kind of like a thriller Hitchcockian, like, thing, but lots of boobs, lots of sex. Frankie Goes to Hollywood does, like, a scene there. That's how, like, whatever.
That's your music tie-in?
Yeah, that's my music tie-in, but, like... that movie, I was watching that maybe at 7 years old. Should not be watching that movie at 7 years old.
Boob City.
Yeah, and like sex and murder and stuff. Kind of interesting.
It's called Body Double?
Body Double.
And it's a Brian De Palma movie.
I think so. Oh, Melanie Griffith. Like that's the first time I ever saw her.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're watching all that stuff, but you went into music.
Yes, because my older sister, she was like kind of like in art school in college. She had a band. She loved this British band called Japan with David Sylvian. And so they would have a cover band of Japan in our basement. And they would have all these like painters and artists and stuff. And I was like 6 years old, just like kind of like weaving through their legs, just checking out what they were doing. Thought that they were really cool.
Just have these painters over and make some paintings.
They weren't making paintings, but they were all like talking about film and playing music. And then my sisters, actually, we had a really great record collection because since my dad was a doctor who was a doctor for KLM, he would get all these free flights. And so what my sister and brother would be like, they'd give him a list of records and say, give us, buy us these records. And he would get them in like London or in the States.
Wrap them in foil.
No, you didn't need foil for that, but you just made sure they wouldn't warp.
Yeah.
And so we had a good record collection. So people like coming over so they could listen to our record collection.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you grew up with art.
Yeah.
What, your older sister?
Yes.
What'd she do?
She is a journalist now. She writes about arts and culture and food in the national newspaper in the Philippines right now.
Okay. Yeah. So she stuck with it.
Yeah, dude. She's like, she has a band. Like,
what?
Her band, like, so she
old
married
people
a
can't
man.
Have bands.
So she's like in her, I won't age her, but she's, she has a band. They just launched their EP yesterday, actually. I was looking at the Instagram stories. I was like super FOMO on that. And her husband and her, like her husband's called Scott, his name is Scott Garceau. And they met in Boston. He moved to the Philippines over 20 years ago. And then he's a guitarist, singer. She's a drummer also.
Like
you could see how much she affected me. And she was like my inspiration.
Yeah.
And they just released an EP right now.
Interviewing her instead of the
You should totally be interviewing. She's so much cooler than I am.
This mini-me.
She's a flamenco dancer. She can do more stuff than me.
Do some dancing now.
Yeah, exactly. No, and so they're called the Garceaus. And yeah, they just released an EP.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Your whole family's like that?
Ish. My brother's a chef. And like, so you can see where the food thing comes from.
Yeah.
My older sister's an actress. She was in my movie.
She was in your movie.
She was in my movie.
She was in your movie. Can we see the movie? Is it like can the Geekscapists in the States or in Canada or Australia or any of those? Like, can the Geekscapists see your movie?
Jason. So I'm asking my husband, how can the Geekscapists watch what is it there?
Is it on any streaming platforms?
It will be.
Maybe we should put it on Vimeo.
Put it
on Vimeo. Get paid. You know what you guys do is put it on Amazon.
Yeah, we're looking.
Because Amazon, you'll at least get paid.
Yeah.
I don't know if Vimeo has a paid wall.
You could do a rent thing.
But Amazon has a rental thing. And yes. I have lots of friends who've done that. Our friend Jason Trost did the Amazon thing.
So Jason is nodding.
Yeah, maybe put it on Amazon and see if the Amazon thing will go.
So right
I'm
now.
Wait, you guys haven't done it yet. Is there a rights thing going down?
We, long story, but we had a limited release on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years back, we sold out of everything. It was.
I have a copy.
And then you have a copy. Since it was my first feature, I would say that I wasn't as producer savvy as I was. So our music rights have to be renewed. So
okay.
So once we just do that little bit, we'll release it.
But you know all the bands.
I do, but there's some like major record label stuff.
Uh-oh.
So it's just a little bit, you know, just a little tricky.
Okay.
But so Jason has a big smile on his face.
Jason, the husband slash producer slash
I don't know if I'm telling you guys
too much.
Slash
everything.
But that's the reason why it's not online, guys. Like, it's not because it's rated X or anything like that. It's just a little logistical thing.
You know what's crazy is Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
There's 100 titles that go that are dated that were produced between the onset of film, like the early 1900s, late 1800s, which there just aren't movies, but there are 100 titles that were produced on Netflix streaming between 1910 and 1990.
Whoa.
It's a terrible library of movies. It is a terrible way to catalog films. Streaming is really just the last 30 years of movies.
Yep.
And a lot of that is because music rights lapses. So you are not alone. Like, think about all those John Hughes 80s movies with the iconic soundtracks.
And remember how Freaks and Geeks?
Bands? Yeah.
Freaks and Geeks had a hard time releasing on DVD because of the rights. So
music is the one that is the linchpin for all this stuff.
Yeah. And of course, like, I don't, like, there's a Filipino movie, I won't name in the name, but, like, it's an 80s movie that I have the DVD. No, it's not that one. But, like, I was watching the DVD that I have, and there was, like, a Michael Jackson song in, like, a disco scene. And I'm just like, dude, and a Madonna song. I'm like, guys, you didn't pay for that, but you, like, release this on DVD. It's fine with you guys, but I don't want to do that. I'm not going to be that person.
No, because you respect musicians.
Yeah,
totally. As a musician,
and I want to treat them right, and I'm not going to do that to them. So that's the reason why.
Okay. Well, you give me a lot to think about, because we're in editing and the music, and we're going to do it right.
And you know a lot of bands. You're going to get kick-ass music. Just make sure in perpetuity, my friend. All media.
For Chasing Fletcher Allen, I think Heidi and I want to do female-fronted.
Nice.
Because
yes,
it's a female-fronted movie.
For sure.
For my feature, yeah, it's like we're getting, it's going to get hooked.
I have a friend, when we're done with this, I'm going to tell you about my friend's band, and they're awesome.
Okay.
They're recording an EP right now, and they're really done. Great. Yeah.
I've just noticed that all my punk friends
yeah.
from like back in like the 90s and 2000s who were in punk bands, they're all doing folk music now.
They've chilled the fuck out.
Have you noticed that? That like the punk guys are all getting into like folk music?
It's because they're all dads now.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, they want their kids to listen to their music.
I just want
to
do my acoustics and do acoustic guitars. And like, they're all putting out folk albums. They're all putting out like really artsy albums. And I'm like, well, that's kind of an okay soundtrack to this next film. And like, let's figure that out. So I'm loving it.
Yeah.
But every now and then I like to rock and roll still.
You just remind me of Juliet Naked, really, like for a second. Like,
yeah,
that
was
movie.
A good
you
movie.
Also love it, right?
I love that movie too. Yeah.
I love that movie too.
Yeah, all these bands we loved. I was like, oh, you kind of mellowed out there. You did a folk album. That's what happens. But I did. I got the new Bouncing Souls EP, and that's fun. And the Dolly Rots are coming to town. I like them. They're female fronted.
Nice. That's great.
Punk rock girl.
So the lead. Band, I was like, I just realized I just do want to do a shout out for them. So they're called the Paranoids,
mm-hmm.
but it's N-O-Y-D-S, and it's female N-O-Y-D-S. Fronted. Yeah, girlfriend of mine from Slam Dance. She's like the back, like second singer and keyboardist there.
In LA?
They're in LA. They're recording their EP right now.
You're doing the video or am I doing the video?
I hope we both do videos. I've already told them. I was
holy
like, guys,
shit.
Because I love that fucking band.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to literally get their male drummer, throw him off the drum set, and then just do it myself.
Yeah.
But he's really great, so I can't do it.
The Paranoids.
The Paranoids. They're great.
Okay.
I'm only going to do that with a drummer because I'm jealous.
Well, I'll get you behind a kit. You can make folk music.
I don't want to do folk music. I don't have kids yet.
So, guys, we've been joking. And gals. We've been joking around a lot. We've been getting to know each other. The main thing I really want you guys to do is go to the show notes, click on that Seed and Spark link to Marie's movie, A Song
for Myself.
For Myself.
Yes.
A Song for Myself.
If you and can help donate, amazing. If you can follow, like it, that's equally as amazing.
Just let your friends know about it. Especially your female friends. Be like, hey, help this kick-ass lady
yeah.
make her movie.
Yeah, Jonathan's friend, female director of color.
Who will, yeah, Jonathan ain't gonna have anything to do with this whole thing. All right,
I don't know.
My
I haven't,
stink
we haven't,
won't be on it. All right,
might,
my
haven't,
stink
haven't,
won't be on it.
You don't know yet. It's early. Yeah, with the crew list, you'll see.
I'll deliver the pizza.
You're gonna see like he's gonna make a cameo.
I'm not.
One of the,
I'm not.
They're gonna be
qualified.
One of the Vegas guys. You're
hey, ladies, you guys take your shirts off. Is there a scene where like the ladies are trying to perform and dudes are being really gross to them?
I have a lot of like lascivious Las Vegas guys, and I think you.
I don't know, Marie. I'm not really a good actor.
You are a good actor. See?
No, I'm not a good actor, and I don't know if I could play sleazy because I'm just so sleazy in real life.
Then you just have to like,
getting
just,
in that mindset.
You just have to be.
Wait, are you shooting the short in Vegas?
No, we have to shoot in LA in July.
Okay.
And we'll shoot some B-roll in Vegas.
You know, July is Comic-Con. We're going to be at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con. So
what's the dates? Because I think it's after.
It starts the 16th.
And then, yeah, it'll be done.
So you're the last week of July. You're gonna shoot the last
week.
You're gonna
July.
Shoot the last week of July. So after Comic Con, maybe I'll give you a cameo.
Yeah, you'll have like a nice like San Diego tan,
yeah.
And then you'll be like,
you guys the band?
Yeah.
Maybe show your tits. Like, is there a guy like that?
I could change the lines.
No,
I can,
you don't
I can
change
the,
your art for my inability to have, be creative.
I don't think I have the word tits in my.
But
script.
You know, like I imagine in the movie that a band that was all females in Vegas.
They're not all females. She's just the lead
okay,
singer.
Okay, so she's the lead singer.
She's the eye candy, but she's more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I bet that like you get some guys who are like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
Show some skin.
Yeah.
Like some gross dude.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, well, we can talk
And
about
you can
it.
Just do that with your eyes. You don't have to say the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this my audition?
Yes, you're doing very well.
No. No, I'm not an actor. It's not good. Hey, baby. Maybe put
why is your voice getting so low? Like, why aren't you using your real voice?
I'm acting.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. Maybe put down the guitar and pick up my. Wait, what?
Wait, like, why'd you do like? Hey. Why'd you do your Eddie Olmos like accent?
Do it in Latino.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you that story where Edward Olmos was like, "Do it as Latino," and it scared the shit out of me. I was like, "What is this? You're grilling me on how Hispanic I am?"
Yes.
You remember?
And you have to pass.
Yeah, remember Keys of Terrazas? Huh? He was my year. He was he's a Mexican filmmaker.
No, I don't.
He worked for Diego Luna and those guys now. He's like one of their development execs.
What?
Did you know Diego Luna started a company with Gael García Bernal?
I did not know that.
And it's all Mexican and Latino stuff. He worked for them.
Sick.
And so...
You know Diego Luna was my hall pass, right?
Who?
Diego Luna is my hall pass.
Diego Luna? Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we, in Geekscape, as you know him from Rogue One. So we're back and forth on Facebook, and I was telling him about the lead in my next movie. He's just, like, he's half white, half Mexican, like myself. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm like stuck in between, because I have friends who are Mexican from like my workout group and stuff like that. They do not respect me at all. And I've got, yeah, it's like, I'm stuck, man. It's like, I'm not Hispanic enough for the Hispanic kids. I'm not white enough for the white kids. I'm just fucked.
No, dude, own it, man. Like, yeah. And then, don't make them feel like you're less.
So bad. Edward James Olmos, Geekscapist, I probably told you guys this story, and I definitely put the episode up on a pod when Edward James Olmos and I were on a panel together. But
is it the Miami Vice panel that I was at in Comic-Con?
No, I think it was LA. I think it was a LA Comic-Con panel, and it was a main stage panel. It was just me and Edward James Olmos, and 5-10 minutes beforehand, we're in the back, and I go, "Hey, Eddie, I'm the moderator for this conversation, you and me." And he just turns to me and goes, "Do it as Latino." Like, all the blood in my face just went to my feet, right? I was like, holy shit.
So what'd you say?
He just turned his gaze to me.
Yeah.
And with just fucking pinpoint stare.
With a like, Captain Adama, with the Admiral Adama eyes.
Admiral Adama and like Miami Vice, just like stand and deliver.
He
just
was like,
he just pinned me to the wall. It was like,
so what'd you say?
Do it as Latino. And I was like,
I switched
to Spanish, and I was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like speaking Spanish after what seemed like an eternity of speaking Spanish to him. He just goes, bueno. And he slaps my arm. I was like, let's do this then.
Oh my God.
And I was like, did I fucking have to audition to moderate with
him? Yes,
like,
you did. What is that? You passed.
Ooh, but I didn't breathe through like that entire period. I just was not breathing. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Do it Latino.
That's amazing. We saw him at a luncheon, like a lunch party 2 weeks ago. And like, yeah, I just had to just keep it all together as much as I could. But in my mind, I was just like, stand and deliver. Like, that's all I was
American
like.
Me.
Yeah. Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. American Me is fantastic.
I haven't seen that
one. I think Jimmy Smith should have been nominated for an Oscar. If he didn't get... It was the year that What's-His-Name won for Ed Wood.
Oh.
Best Supporting Actor.
Uh-huh.
Who was it? Martin Landau?
Yes.
But Jimmy Smith's performance in American Me is on another fucking level. It's incredible.
Damn.
And Jimmy Smith was also in Miami Vice.
Yeah.
He's very beginning. He's in the pilot.
And he was in Star Wars.
In Star Wars. Oh my God! It all goes back to Miami Vice and Star Wars and nerdiness, and that's what we do. Geekscape is. This is what we do. We sit and we talk about storytelling. I hope you guys enjoyed having Marie on the show. We talked music. We talked film. We talked a bunch of stuff.
Our friendship.
We talked our friendship. And we talked our race. But what I really want you guys to do is I want you guys to go on the show notes, find that Seed and Spark link to a song for herself.
Myself.
Fuck.
Oh, man. You're really killing it.
You might need to change the title to something dummies like us can figure out.
I don't know.
Vegas Rock Girl Gets Whistled At.
That's the name? Movie. I don't know. It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. But clearly a song for myself. Herself?
Myself.
Fuck. Clearly a song for myself. I'm like, the dummies are having trouble with it.
I don't know, man.
Did you think about the dumb audience when you...
Usually try not to, man.
You try and elevate the art form.
I mean, not that either. I just thought it was just—I thought it was in the middle enough to be like, doesn't sound like
a song for myself
with capital ART.
But a song for myself.
Yes.
Put a donation for Marie on the Seed and Spark link in the show notes.
Yes.
That's what I want you guys to do. Geekscape is—I love doing Geekscape. I don't always have the time to do Geekscape or the guests to do Geekscape, but I'm going down to WonderCon. I'm going to bring the recorder with me.
Nice.
We're going to do some Geekscape at WonderCon for the next episode, and then I have some more stuff lined up for Geekscape. So don't think that I'm like slacking.
Oh, he's hard at work, man.
Hard at work.
I see you.
We're trying to make some movies.
Yeah.
We're trying to edit some movies. We're trying to make some new stuff.
Yeah.
And we're on the road to Comic-Con. We've obviously got Endgame coming out. We've got Captain, we got Shazam coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh man, we got Hellboy coming out. Oh, we have so many cool comic book movies and things coming out that we're going to talk about. So I want you guys to tell your friends to subscribe. If this is your first Geekscape, hey, click that subscribe button. You can find us on every podcatcher there is. So go and share Geekscape with your friends, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, any of those things. Tell your friends about Geekscape because we're really, really going to be rocking out here on the road to Comic-Con. And obviously, I've already shouted out the Geekscape Network. Go check out those boys at Horror Movie Night. They are busting their butts over there. And I'm pretty sure they did do an Us special. It's probably not recorded as of the recording of this episode, but it's probably up on the website. Either it'll be up by now or it'll be up later this week. But
when's Twilight Zone coming out? When's the Peele, Jordan
Peele? Oh, I don't even know. That's the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone? I have no idea. Yeah. Geekscapists, I love you. You guys can find Marie online at
Marie Jamora. That's my Twitter. If you go on Instagram, it's at Marie _Jamora. That's with a J. I'm on Facebook as well. But, you know, all that's kind of jazz. Did I forget any, like, other things? I think those are the ones. Those are the triangle of social media,
yeah,
I feel.
Yeah, the distraction algorithm trifecta.
Yeah, that's it.
Keep you captive.
The time suck of your life.
Oh, you wanted to have a life? No. We will keep you captive here.
And we will also ruin your posture by hunching.
Yeah.
All your life.
Walking down the street with a phone in your hand.
Yeah.
You are a prisoner. Geekscapists, you can find us at geekscape.net. We're on all of the things Marie just just mentioned between the Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebook. Search for Geekscape. Find Geekscape. Be one with the Geekscape.
Jonathan, this is a pleasure.
You like having...
You.
Yeah, no.
I love
talking
to you.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe next time we'll include Jason.
Maybe.
I like Jason.
He's shaking his head right now.
Would like to have Jason on the... I mean, he's a cool animator.
He's a stop-motion animator. He does Lego. So, like, yeah, we should definitely have him sometime.
Whenever you watch stop-motion animating on Lego that's not the Lego movie, but it's, like, on their channel on YouTube and stuff like that, that's Jason.
Yeah.
He does cool Star Wars Lego animations.
Yeah. Like, and it's not CG. It's real, legit
painstaking,
stop-motion.
I want to cry animation.
Tiny little minifigs, like, animating it one frame at a time. That's it.
Oh, man. You gotta get up on that computer animating, bro. <I'm kidding. laughs> He's like, this is my life. Moving Legos,
he's
like
crying.
One tiny piece at a time.
And it's better though. You get
it's
to touch
way
the toys.
Better.
You play with the
there's
toys.
There's something tactile about it. You can feel it.
You're a child. You're playing with Legos again.
This dude gets to do that for a living.
Totally.
Man, you married the right one.
I did.
Geekscapists, I love you. Don't hate create. Geekscape forever. Tell your friends.
Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.